My name is Rose Shelburne. I moved to Marysville almost 10 years ago now. Grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. Fell in love with small towns when I went to college at Peru State, which is like teeny tiny. It doesn't even have an elementary school. And then got my nursing degree, and my husband and I decided to move down here to raise our kids in a smaller, more familiar community. I currently work as a nurse over at CMH at the hospital. I've been there for about 10 years. And you may see my face. I work in the ER. I deliver babies. I work on the floor. I'm kind of all over the place. But I have two kids in school, one in the elementary school, one in the junior high. And I figured I would love to be a voice for them and for other kids. And if we want change, I always tell people, if we want change, you need to step up and be that change. So if we want changes made, I need to step up and make those changes for my children and everybody's children.
My name is Paige Howard. I grew up in a small town in southwest Kansas called Hanston. I went to college at Pratt Community College and got my associate's in elementary education. Went on to Emporia State, got my bachelor's in elementary education. My husband and I got married, and we lived in Indiana for a year where I got to substitute pre-K through 12 and really find the grade that I loved most. Accepted a job in Atchison Community Elementary School in Effingham. Taught kindergarten there for a year, did preschool for a year. And then my husband likes to mix things up, so he got a new job in Garden City, Kansas, so we went back. And I taught kindergarten there for 4 years in Ingalls, which is a very small school. Husband took another career change and brought us here where he grew up. I taught third grade at the elementary here for a year. And then for myself, decided to take a career change. I'm now at the Marysville Dental Care. I'm an accounts manager. And we have two children. Gwendolyn is in first grade here. Waylon is in preschool, and we have one on the way.
Hi, I'm Chance Hartner. I grew up north of Home City. I graduated Marysville High School in 2007. Following high school, I joined the Kansas Army National Guard, where I served for 6 years, 1 year overseas. I came back shortly after I got out of the military. I started working at the Marshall County Sheriff's Office, where I worked there for about 9 years. During that period of time, I always worked part-time as a carpenter. In 2013, I got married to my wife. We have three kids, 12, 9, and 7. In 2019, I stepped out of law enforcement and went into the full-time carpenter field, where I worked until for other people until 2021, when I started my own business. We did move away in 2019 for a year, and we moved right back a year later because this was home and nowhere else felt like home. And this is where our roots are, and I don't ever plan on moving away.
Hello, I'm Buster Schmitz from Home, Kansas. I grew up in Beatty, Kansas. Been here my whole life. As far as my education, I graduated Marysville High School in 1990. Not knowing what I wanted to do, I definitely wasn't going to spend money on college, so I entered the workforce. I was a carpenter for 10 years. 4 of those years, I was self-employed. Went to work for Union Pacific Railroad on the signal department. Spent 3.5 years there. Not enjoying life on the road, I decided to come back home. I knew Blue Valley Telecommunications was going to be losing a couple guys to retirement, so I put my application in there, eventually got hired. I've been there since May of 2002. Been married to my wife, Ashley, for 28 years. We have 10 kids, 6 of them still in the school system. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Michelle Reinhart, and I was born here, raised in Kansas City for 12 years, then moved back to my dad's hometown. I have been married to Jerry for 31 years. I've worked at the sheriff's office for 36 years as a 911 dispatcher. We have two girls. Morgan teaches at Wamego, and Jordan is an RN at Cambridge Place. And I have two beautiful grandchildren who will be fifth generation graduates of Marysville High School. So I have a lot of interest in our city, in our schools, in our community, and I just think it's a great place to raise kids.
Good evening, I'm Craig Harries. Like a lot of these, I was born and raised here. Lived here my whole life. Grew up on a family farm north of Herkimer, Kansas, about 15 miles outside of town. Went to school here, graduated from high school in 96. Then went to Kansas State University, where I got my bachelor's degree in animal science. Got married, came back home to the family farm, which I now own and operate, and have been here ever since. Been married to my wife, Kelly, for 23 years now. We have four great children. My oldest son graduated from high school a couple of years ago, and just this last year graduated from Southeast Community College. I have a daughter who's a senior in high school right now. I have a son who is a freshman in high school right now, and I have my youngest is a sixth grader at Good Shepherd Lutheran School here in town. I have worked on the farm my whole life. I did work part-time a few other places, small jobs here and there, and things like that. Grew up on a dairy farm and worked at the Kansas State Dairy while I was down there, so that's my life story. Thank you.
Teacher and staff retention and recruitment. The challenges with teacher and staff retention and recruitment.
I think a big draw to get teachers here would be to have an on-site daycare, somebody that's working just for teachers and their children. It can be a real challenge when you move somewhere and you don't know a single soul. Daycare is hard to come by in general. So I think that could be a pretty big draw for new teachers coming in. As for keeping them, I feel like supporting our staff appropriately is a very big issue that I think needs to be addressed in different ways. There's no right way to do it. I also think that retaining teachers by offering more monetary support, I know that they did a lot with the budget this last year, but I don't feel it was fair across the board, especially with the healthcare changes that they did and the benefits. So maybe taking another look at that.
I believe it all boils down to money. I think we can try to think of all kinds of reasons as to why we can get better staff and teachers, but at the end of the day, we're not going to get grade A teachers to move to Marysville because we got black squirrels. They're going to move for money, and we've got to subsidize our teachers with good pay and benefits if we want good teachers. I think we should want more than good teachers. I think we should want better than average teachers, and I think to get better than average teachers, you're going to have better than average pay. Now, that being said, I haven't had the opportunity to look through all the line items and on the budget of the district, and I know you can't just get money out of the air. We got to have the money to give the money, but I do think that is the main reason that people go to a new job or stay at a job, and it's for money, it's for salary.
Chance kind of stole quite a bit of what I had to say, but I have had the opportunity to speak with three or four teachers and some close friends of teachers. And I do feel there's a disconnect between the administration and the teachers that is brought up quite a bit. Where's the support we need when we need it? I hear that. When it comes to the $7,000 quote pay raise, that to some teachers was not a pay raise at all. They're now putting more money out of pocket towards insurance than the pay raise will cover. In fact, I'm aware of one family who does not have coverage for the entire family because of this. So that's a good place to start. As far as the pay, when you have a young teacher coming to town, I feel like all they are thinking about is money. And that's what they're looking at. We need to look at the benefit package more. And as Paige said, be fair across the board, because I don't feel the $7,000 was a fair deal. Thank you.
I guess I'll elaborate since I've been on the board. The $7,000 raise was put on the base and then adjusted. Some people were getting a $22,000 insurance package and some others maybe a $1,500. So during the negotiations, which I've been on all 12 years that I've been on the board, we negotiated insurance, negotiated salary. A lot of the new teachers coming in aren't 26, so they get to stay on mom and dad's, and insurance isn't anything they need. They don't need that benefit package. So we kind of thought it's fair across the board. Everybody got the same amount of money, or close to the same amount of money, and then you can pick out of several different insurances and decide what's best for your family. Yes, a majority of the people did get the raise. It did take away from some. I will agree with that.
Teacher staff retention and recruitment is obviously one of the major concerns that we have right now. If you don't think so, you've probably not been around the school a whole lot. There seems to be a lot of unanswered questions. Why are so many of our good teachers just up and walking out the door? Why is that happening? And why can't we get good qualified ones in here to replace them? And we need to address these issues immediately. I think there's a lot of miscommunication going on, and there's a lot of questions that probably need to be answered and questions that need to be asked. Our teachers and staff need support from our administrators, from parents, from everybody. They need to feel like they're wanted, like they're needed, and they need support. They need to know that they got somebody they can go to help them with their problems. And I think some of that might be lacking right now. I'd like to say I'm gonna go give all the teachers a $10,000 raise, but I really doubt that's probably gonna happen. And give me a lot of votes, but it's probably not gonna happen. I mean, you gotta stay within the means of the budget. And I do think all of our teachers are underpaid. That's just the thing that goes around. Teachers, bus drivers, paras, everybody. I'd like to be, okay, time's up, thank you.
When anybody looks at a new job, pay is obviously something that they do look at, but that's not always the final decision. I've known people who will leave a very high-paying job to go to a job that pays less because it's a better environment. We need to find out, like, with current staff, what's their concerns, what's going on, what can we fix? Because sometimes it doesn't always need money to fix smaller problems, better communication, better morale, things like that. But they also need to feel supported. We need to look at supporting, like providing the ancillary staff needed for support, paras, adequate support for those teachers that do have, you know, problem students or students that need extra help. We need support for those teachers and those students, and money helps with that. But having that communication between administration, staff, is really, really helpful in all of that, and knowing, having that transparency between administration and staff and knowing what's going on. Thank you.
Who looked at my notes? That was the next question y'all just answered, and it had to do with salary and benefits. I think they kind of covered that. I can go back if we'd like to, but I think I'll move on because y'all kind of addressed that as part of a broader question. So I'm going to move on. Chance, I think you're up next. The issue of child care. And this came up in our conversation for both the council and the school. I thought I'd start with the school since you deal directly with kids. Could the district be involved in child care options?
Yes, I don't see any reason why. I guess my question back to that is I was under the understanding that we already do have child care. My kids go to the Kids U program every day after school. I know that that's not rated for babies and toddlers, and that's something that could be, I think, easily implemented into the Kids U program to accept younger children that aren't school-aged kids yet. But as far as the older kids, we already have that program in place, and I love it. It's very beneficial for us. They can be there till 5:30, so me or only one of me or my wife have to be off by 5:30 to get them. So yeah, maybe revamping that program, I think, would be the easiest avenue to get some kind of child care program into the school.
As far as child care, yes, I'm aware it's a big deal in the city, the community, and what do? Obviously, at this point, we don't have a bunch of people stepping up to be daycare providers, so is it even feasible? Is it something we can look at? Is this something else we're going to want the teachers to step up and take on? A lot of these teachers are already doing a lot. It's a discussion that needs to be had. I really don't have the answer for that, but if we can make it work, I'm open to options.
Well, I'll just probably reiterate what they said. Extending the KidU program, if that would be an option, I'm just not sure where you would put it, where you would handle it during the day when the whole building's already being used. It's a community, school, county problem. I don't think there's enough daycare within our rural area anywhere. But I'd be open to any suggestions. One thing I will say, if you think a parent could run the daycare, we barely have enough to fill the spots we need for paras as it is now. So pulling one from a classroom, I don't see as feasible anyway.
Yeah, as far as daycare or childcare here in the school, it's something I think maybe we should look into in the future, but I would have to agree that, yeah, do we have the facilities to do it right now? Do we have faculty to do it right now? We don't have the faculty to run this school the way it should be run right now. I mean, where are we going to find daycare providers then? And where are we going to house it? And where are we going to put it? I'm not saying it's a bad idea and something we shouldn't look into. I'm heavily invested in the Good Shepherd School down here downtown, and we just opened up a daycare there, I think, 2 years ago now, and it's been a great success. We have a waiting list of people trying to get in, but it's still hard trying to find help. And where we don't have the faculty or staff right now to necessarily fill all of our classrooms the way we desire, how are we going to manage the daycare as well? I'm not saying that we cancel it out. I'm saying it's something we can look into. I'm just saying there's other questions and other problems that need to be solved and fixed before we bring on more questions and more problems.
As a parent, I would absolutely love to have a childcare on site. I worked at a hospital in Omaha that had that, and it was absolutely wonderful. Taught a lot, my kids a lot. Pretty sure that's when my daughter knew her alphabet before she was like four, could do everything. But I know how many challenges that faced with that center, having staff and meeting the hours and things like that, and the facilities alone. I don't really know much about running a daycare, what it takes, things like that. That is just so outside of my scope of everything, but definitely something that should be looked into. I wish I could give like a sure yes or no answer. That should definitely be looked at, but I think we need to look at the picture as a whole before we jump into any main decisions about it.
I can appreciate what my fellow candidates have brought up. Obviously, I have already said I think an on-site daycare would be a huge draw for new teachers, but we also know Rome wasn't built in a day, so I'm not suggesting that it be implemented immediately, but something to worth looking into, especially to draw young families into the community to help not only build the schools, but this community as well. I think that, you know, were we to find a separate building to provide that daycare facility would be helpful. Retired staff that could be on hand to do that, you know, all kinds of options and avenues there. Just something definitely worth looking into if we want to continue to build the community.
I think we got you all on that one. Good. The final one, if you've got questions for the school board, raise those up. Max will pick those up. We've got some for the council we'll go to here shortly. Our final in this round is the prospect of a four-day or year-round schooling. There are alternates that have had conversations and maybe some experiences. What are the advantages, ramifications? Where do you stand with regard to alternatives, perhaps four-day, year-round schooling, other ideas? And I think we're up to you, Mr.
I don't know if this is something that's been talked about or not. The first I seen it was Paige's comments in the Advocate. So I think everybody would love to have a four-day work day. I mean, that'd be great, a three-day weekend every day. But in all reality, we're already having trouble, like we say, getting staff, getting everything crammed into a day. People are jumping from principal to bus driver and back and forth. Is our curriculum going to suffer because of it? I'm speaking from the high school level. I don't, my kids are in St. Gregory's Catholic School, so I don't know about the elementary so much, but I think it's a dream everybody has to spend more time at home, but is it feasible? Again, those discussions have to be made. Facts have to be put in place. We have to see the numbers on paper. We've got to see how it can work, and can it work? But it's a discussion that could be had.
I think I can reiterate what they said, but the other thing is we have probably 50% of our kids who wouldn't be fed that fifth day. I think you have to look at the whole picture. Who would babysit on Friday or Monday or whatever day is chosen? Would we have Kids U open? I think there's a lot of things you'd have to look at, but I'd be more worried about nutrition, if they're staying home alone. And then I agree with Buster when it comes to the curriculum. I can't imagine getting everything in 4 days. I think that fifth day, I'd have to look at the stats.
I believe it's something that can be looked at. I probably don't have a decision on it one way or the other. I would have to learn more about it, to be honest with you. I can't sit up here and say one way would work or one way is better because I don't know enough about it. I do know that there are schools out there that are doing it and are trying it, and they say it's successful and it works. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not necessarily for it. I would have some questions like, if you go to 4 day, then you go all year round. So then your kids get no break, no summer break. Man, our kids need a break. They need a couple months off every once in a while. And so do the teachers. And so do the parents. And then if you go to 4 day, well, then your daycare issue just came back up again. All you parents are going to have to find a daycare or somebody for your kid to go to on that day when he's not going to school. And same thing with the meals. And you got to get those meals. I would have to learn a lot more about it before I was comfortable making a decision on it one way or the other. But it's something that can be looked at.
I heard a little bit about this through different videos, things like that, looking up different articles. I don't really know a whole lot about them, but I would definitely want to see what the current stats are. What do they do with their kids on the day off? What's the cost versus the benefit? What do the schools, are they running at full bore? Are the utilities needs going to change? Things like that. Year-round, school, I've heard of places doing that, and it's not that they go every single week of the day. They have like a winter break here and a summer break, a couple weeks here, a couple weeks there. So it's just you get your full summer break, it's just broken up differently. But yeah, I would definitely need to look at current stats, people who are using it, what are their models before I were to actually jump in and make a decision.
4 day school week is something I'm pretty passionate about. I came from a district that was at a 4 day school week. I felt like teachers were happier, less stressed. Two of the Mondays, we had Mondays off, but two of the Mondays every month, teachers would come in for either professional development or a work day. It really offered us a lot of time to get our classrooms more prepared, grades ready, you know, all the things that teachers have on their plates. It just offered an extra day every month to do that. We also did not do any kind of early release days, which I found a little strange, to be honest. When I came here, I had never heard of an early release day. And as a parent now, it's a little inconvenient to have to remember when those are and what they're doing and, you know, where my kids are going. I could go on and on about a 4 day school week. I do know that there are things to be looked at in stats and, you know, money saving. I think it also opens opportunities for high school students to babysit those days or get a job that they can work 3 days instead of just two on the weekends. Thanks.
As far as a four-day school week, I do not think it's a good idea for several reasons. One, our culture, mostly in America, but especially in rural America like Marysville, our culture is a five-day work week. Most parents are working 5 days a week. A lot of them are working weekends and nights, but typically a vast majority are working Monday through Friday. So that leaves one day a week where kids are unaccounted for, have to go to daycare. Older kids will be out running around getting into trouble. And I just don't think it's a productive model. Also, if we're trying to retain teachers, I have two teachers in my family that they love to teach, but also one thing they love about it is one runs a painting business in the summer, and the other one was a farmer's wife who was able to help during harvest season, during the summer, during wheat harvest, and do all that in the summer, and it worked out perfect for them. They loved their summers off. And I just don't think that a four-day school week is going to cause more problems than it's going to solve.
Last night, the KBI was in town. They spoke about fentanyl and drug use. As a district, do you see a problem? Can we be proactive in addressing these issues?
It is a problem. I've been at the sheriff's office for 36 years, and I am amazed. I guess I shouldn't be amazed. Things, you would think I've seen it all. Yes, it's a big concern. I think a kid maybe innocently could take a Tylenol or something from another child, and it's laced. Having the Narcan, having those things available are great, but education and teaching children, staff, our public, I hope a lot of you were able to go to the presentation by the director of the KBI yesterday. Just to be aware of your surroundings and aware of what's going on. Yeah, it does. I'll be honest, fentanyl scares me.
Fentanyl and drug use. Mm-hmm. I hope none of you up here say it, no, it's not a problem. Because if you don't think drug use or fentanyl is a problem, then we got other problems. Yes, it's definitely something that needs to be addressed, and definitely something that is scary now in our society. How do you keep it out of a community? How do you keep it out of a school? Those are tough questions to answer. I mean, law enforcement to get involved as much as possible. I mean, I know they're willing to help out in the school as regularly and even more so than what they do now. And, you know, that's their area of expertise. That's why they're here in town. That's what we need to utilize them if we have to get them in there, and I'm sure we do now, to make sure that drugs stay out of our school and fentanyl. And I mean, it's a problem in our society, and it's only gonna get worse going forward in the future. I mean, with vaping and all that other stuff, you know, but we didn't have that when we were in school. And it's gonna be a problem going forward, and it's definitely something we're gonna have to address and stay on top of.
I see the things I've seen come from fentanyl and drug use and everything in my line of work is, it's heartbreaking. Fentanyl and drug use is definitely a concern in schools. It's so easy to slip it into anything. It's on patches, it can touch your skin, it can be on paper. So it's terrifying. And a lot of it comes down to is we need to educate the staff. I know Kathy Herter, the school nurse, has done a good job at trying to get Narcan into the schools, teaching people how to do it. And I know, a lot of people don't want to be responsible for that, but we've got to educate our teachers, our staff. What does an overdose look like? What do you do? We need to be continuing doing, pushing like CPR and knowing how to use AEDs in schools, when to call an emergency. I would love to see an extra nurse on staff. I know budget and everything like that, but having another healthcare provider, even if it's a med aid or anything like that, to answer questions on, medications kids bring in, using that.
I don't know what else I can really add to what my fellow candidates have said. It's a problem not only here, but everywhere in our nation. And I think just keeping parents educated as well as staff and students educated on what it looks like, the dangers of it, you know, all the things that parents should be teaching their kids, and teachers do a good job of teaching their students, but it needs to be a community front on how to stay safe and precautions.
People aren't getting fentanyl overdoses from the handle at Walmart. It's from people using drugs and getting bad batches of drugs. And I think the biggest thing that we can do is educate our kids. I think we need a better drug education program in the high school age, junior high and high school age range. I think we fall short of that, probably nationwide. We all know what DARE is, and that's done in the elementary school age, and there's a lot of research that says DARE doesn't even work, because you're teaching, you know, 4, 5, 6-year-olds not to do drugs, and then when they're 14, 15, 16, they don't care about what they learned in second grade. It's what's cool, it's what everybody else is doing, and I think we need to educate our kids more on how bad drugs are, what they do, and combat that with them not doing drugs at all. If you're not doing drugs, you're probably not going to have a fentanyl overdose.
I've been out of Marysville High School for 33 years, but when I was in school, there was already a drug problem in the junior high and high school. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't got any better. The government's got their foot in the door, and you know, we got this war on drugs, and nothing's happening. So it has to happen here at the grassroots level. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Melissa Sandman, one of the teachers there at the high school, is bringing a guy in who's been very much exposed to narcotics and speaking to the kids on the terrible things he's seen, and things he's seen happen, people that have died due to overdose, stuff like that. We need more of that. I remember 20 years ago, when I first hired on at Blue Valley, the local police department or sheriff's department, I don't remember which it was, come over and they brought paraphernalia, things that people should be aware of, you know, when you're entering houses, you know, because you don't want to get that stuff, come in contact with it or whatever. So it would be a bad thing to bring them in with the paraphernalia. This, if you see this, stay away. You know, it's a good place to start. I don't know that it's the answer, but we got to do something.
Rose, 1 minute for your wrap-ups on the candidates for school board.
Oh, we've covered a lot of really interesting topics tonight to learn about all of the current concerns that people have. I'm running unopposed, so most likely we'll be on the school board. But I'm looking forward to just creating a positive change for our staff, our students, and just the overall look, overall Marysville School District. And knowing that some of the decisions that the school board makes now can affect our children, but it also affects our children's children in the future. So we always keep those ones in mind. So, thanks.
Thank you for coming and supporting all of us here this evening. I just want to say that I'm running because education is very important to me. It's odd to be on this side of it now that I'm not teaching. I love all that I'm learning. I want to be, if elected, I would love to be a school board member that is approachable in the schools as much as possible, seeing everybody, just being a part of it. I also want to be a voice for the educators. I think they can get a little lost. And they're timid. They like to talk big to their peers, but it's hard to talk to people who make decisions. So I just would love to be that voice for them. Thanks.
And thanks for everybody for coming again. I wanted to run for school board because I just really felt like it was something that somewhere that I would be good at serving in. I'm really passionate about my kids and all the kids in the community, our next generation. That's what we need to invest in if we want our community to be better down the road. And I think it's important that our kids have someone to stand up for them and look out for them in their education. We need to be there for our teachers and faculty as well. But at the end of the day, there are some students that that only have us to stand up and be a voice for them.
Thank you all for coming tonight. The reason I am running for school board and why I want your vote is, over the last year, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people. I've spent time with Darren Schrader. I've spent time talking to other school board members, talked to a lot of people in the community and some teachers. There are definitely some issues out there that we're facing and we need to overcome. And anybody that knows me, if I'm passionate about something, I'm gonna follow through. I'm gonna do my best to get it done. That's just the way I am. We may not always agree on stuff, but we can have that conversation. And some of you out there know that because I've had those conversations. So the students need a voice, these teachers need a voice, and I'd be glad to step into that role and do that for them. Thank you.
I guess I do. I care about kids. I care about our community, our staff, our faculty. I think a good education might get some students to even return to Marysville. We would love that. Constituents are who elect us and who reach out to us and who we need to also listen to. If you've got concerns, I've always felt like my phone and everything's been on and open and available for conversation. There are some things that I don't think everybody understands, and I think this goes for the council also, that what's done in executive session, that you don't always have both sides of the story. It's not an easy position, but it's one I'm very passionate about. I care about our kiddos, so thank you.
Yeah, thank everybody for coming here tonight. Something I think I might have failed to mention in my opening comment is that my wife of 23 years is also a para at the elementary school. So I have a wife who's in the elementary school, two kids in the high school right now, and I will have a kid in that high school for the next 7 years, whether it's two or one. So I have a lot of invested in this, a lot of future that needs to come out of this yet. Communication seems to be a major problem no matter what school you're in here in this district. There seems to be a breakdown back and forth and back and forth. I'd like to be on the board. I've talked to a couple board members that are currently on the board and asked, you know, do you go talk to the teachers one-on-one? And they said, no, they don't. That's kind of looked down upon. And I was like, what? That sounds absolutely ridiculous. You should go talk to the teachers. You should walk the hallways of this school. You should see how it operates day to day. And talk to the teachers and talk to the staff and talk to the paras and talk to the bus drivers and know what their wants and needs are so that you can represent them at a school board meeting. Thank you. Have a good night.